John chapter 8. Now I suppose that some of you are probably wondering, how could the pastor have forgotten Memorial Day? Answer, he didn't. I forgot the federally mandated three-day weekend, but I didn't forget Memorial Day because that was yesterday. I won't forget President's Day either, which used to be George Washington's birthday. I'll celebrate his birthday, but we've had some presidents that I don't think deserve their day, although they're going to get their day. You know, that's a travesty. Memorial Day is an important day, and it ought not to be obfuscated by making a three-day party event out of it. It ought to be celebrated as it was intended to be celebrated. A little of the history of it. It was brought in as an observance following the Civil War for the Union troops that had fallen in battle and later taken up as a cause by the Grand Army of the Republic and pushed as a national holiday and eventually became enshrined as a national holiday, which, well, it should. And its name is telling in itself, Memorial Day. We're supposed to remember things. It used to be called Decoration Day. What do you suppose it was designed to cause us to remember? It would be easy to make the case that we live on the greatest nation in earth. Millions of illegal aliens couldn't possibly be wrong. This is a wonderful place. I wonder if this might be the only place in modern history that has had the three institutions of God at least semi-functional, where the family was revered, where civil government was bound down with the chains of a just constitution, and where the New Testament church, at least in days gone by, preached the scriptures, preached the truth. That's a wonderful confluence of events when you can have all three things, and it's a rare thing in this world. We Americans do have much to remember. I love that bumper sticker that says, if you can read this, thank a teacher. If you can read this in English, thank a soldier. Well, there's much to that. There's been a lot of bloodshed to protect what we have today, and I don't think making a three-day weekend party out of it really does Memorial Day justice. There are times that we ought to be called to remembrance. We ought to remember that the way of the cross leads home. And we have what we have because some that went before us knew that and provided for a way that the gospel might freely be preached. And it can't be preached by broken families. It can't be preached by a tyrannical government. And it can't be preached by a Laodicean church. And we need to remember those things. Precious is the blood that was shed to give us what we have today. And the first point that I want to make this morning is the fact that freedom is far from free. In fact, I think I could probably make the case that freedom is the most expensive commodity on the face of the earth because it can't be purchased with money. It can only be purchased with blood. And we Americans ought to remember that because in the day in which we live, the tree of liberty thirsts. Freedom is not free. John chapter 8 now. John chapter 8. Let's begin reading in verse number 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I think that the audience to which our Lord Jesus was speaking at this particular time must have been educated in the American public school system. Talk about fuzzy logic. In verse 32, Jesus says, You'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. How will you know that? By being my disciples, by knowing me, for I am the way, the truth, and the life. Look at the answer which is given. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. What? One of the very disciples was called Simon the Zealot, Simon Zelotes. He was called that because he opposed politically the presence of the Roman occupation in Jerusalem. Pontius Pilate held court in the city of Jerusalem. The Roman guidons stood outside his palace. The Roman army had occupied Jerusalem. The Jews had revolted so many times. Pilate got so tired of it. He said to Jesus, What is truth? I live in the midst of a people that claim that they know the God that created the universe, and from what I can see, I'm still wondering, what is truth? And here's the Jews out there telling Jesus, we were never in bondage to anybody. Look at us, we're free. Oh, the foolishness of man. We Americans are deluded into thinking that this is the land of the free and the home of the brave. We're no more free than those Jews were. The same Roman guidons are planted in Washington, D.C. And if you think we're not in bondage to them, let us skip an interest payment or two and see what the international bankers have to say about that. Let the Chinese stop buying up our T-bills and see what we think about that. Then we'll find out how free we are. We have a government that's increasingly oppressive and tyrannical. And we have a people that's morally decrepit, self-serving and wicked. We have families that are falling apart at the seams. And we have churches that refuse to preach the truth because what I'm saying this morning would not tickle the ears of most Americans, because we don't want to remember certain things. We want to be like those that stone Stephen and stop up our ears and run on the messenger and gnash on him with our teeth. Didn't profit the Jews, and it won't profit us either. It's Memorial Day, and we ought to remember a few things. We've treated liberty so cheaply. And lest you think I'm in a political discourse here, you see, I have to be careful now with all the laws that are being pushed through. I can't say anything that's political, and I can't use any hate speech. So, I'm bridling my tongue quite carefully this morning. We have problems. And this isn't a political speech. It's a gospel message. And our political problems are not because of who sits in the White House. They're not because of who sits in the halls of Congress. They're not even the fault of this judge they're trying to ram through and put on the Supreme Court. You know whose fault they are? It's our fault. Isn't it funny how that when these politicians get elected and things don't turn out like we thought, the bumper stickers disappear and you can't find anybody that voted for them. I suppose you've been taught in the past that democracy is the worst possible form of government. You ought to beware of any politician that tries to say that America is a democracy. It is not a democracy. They're trying to turn it into a democracy. But America was founded as a constitutional republic. Why not a democracy? The problem with a democracy is the fact that those who are governing themselves are lost, wicked, vile sinners who are unable to think clearly enough to even vote in their own best interests. That's what democracy is. It degenerates to the lowest common denominator. And I don't have to spell that out to you what that is, children being in the room. It's a day to remember. In the immortal words of Pogo, we have met the enemy, and he is us. That's the problem the Jews had here. They had forgotten what it cost to free them from the bondage of Egypt and bring them in to the promised land. They had forgotten their own history. Now that's a serious enough thing. Abraham being who he is, Moses being who he is. But when America forgets, we're forgetting Jesus Christ. Now that's a horse of a different color. We've been talking in our Sunday school class about the kingdom of heaven parables, the treasure that was hidden in the field. And when the man found it, he gave everything that he had to purchase that possession. The pearl of great price. Sold everything that he had to buy that pearl. Our Lord Jesus Christ saw America before the founding fathers did, and he bought it with a price. You see, we're all lost and undone in sin. That's our real problem. It isn't a government problem that our families are falling apart. It isn't a government problem that the schools are the cesspools that they are. We can try to blame it on whatever we like. But the problem is, in a constitutional republic and representative government, the buck doesn't stop on Harry Truman's desk. It stops with us. And our founding fathers told us that the form of government that they had given us was sufficient for the governance of a moral people and none other. And that means born again believers. Not religionists, but born again believers. Because when the Son makes you free, you're free of the worst enemy that you have. And it's not Mao, and it's not Stalin. It's not even Barack Hussein. It's our sin nature. We are sinners. And we oppose ourselves. We dwell in the way of death. And Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary and purchased for us what we could never have afforded to purchase for ourselves. And when we forget that, everything else goes out the window because God's three institutions are for God's people. The family is for God's people. The church is for God's people. Civil government is for God's people. And it doesn't work for the devil's children. If you don't believe me, go out and buy the Sunday paper after you leave here. We'll let that convince you. Freedom is not free. It's very, very expensive. You know, we'd be remiss to go and decorate the tombs and graves of those that gave us the freedom that we have without remembering who gave them the freedom that they had. Do you know that the keepers of Bedford Prison could not take away Bunyan's freedom? The cruelest and darkest hours of the Inquisition could not take away the freedom of those that were so cruelly used. For when a man is free on the inside, that's when he's free indeed. When he's free on the outside, oh, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play, and they have, haven't they? Freedom's not free. If you think that the tombs of all those soldiers that ought to be decorated today and won't because people had their drunken three-day weekend last week, if you think that they died to give you universal health care coverage, you better think again. Those men that founded this country died so that you would have the freedom to hear a gospel message and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and not live in a country where you had to be down in the catacombs and fear for your mortal life every waking moment. And you wouldn't sleep much with the hounds of hell cut loose on you. And isn't it an awful thing that a Chinese Christian could come here this morning and address this assembly and tell us some things about what being a Christian means in one of those countries? I think I'll redo the bumper sticker. If you can read this, thank a teacher. If you can read it in English, thank a soldier. If you're an American, thank God. He gave us this country. What kind of a fool would think that the Muslims would give us a country like this? They got countries all over the world. Let me tell you what they're like. They're hell holes of the devil, just like the demon god that they worship. And the deeds of their fathers, they do every day. They're a bunch of murdering scum. And they're the offscouring of the earth, and they want to find fault with us. Well, there's plenty of fault to find. If you think that God doesn't have a sense of humor, you ought to sit in a mosque someplace and listen to him tell the truth about Hollywood and the way people in this country dress and some of their moral degeneracies. Strategic pause to let it sink in, but it's the truth. We need to get hold and remember some things. Some of us actually get to the point of thinking, you know, it's really cool that we keep the name of Jesus out of the public venue in this country, but you can talk about Muhammad all you want. You can go right into the public school system and teach them Sharia law. That's not child abuse. You know, if they steal a pencil from their fellow pupil, you cut off their right hand. You're just looking out for their best interests. Don't you know that the original 13 colonies all had a state church? Didn't you know that? And the First Amendment of the Constitution guaranteed to those 13 original states that they could keep that state church, and not one of them had a mosque anywhere in all of them. Now, you might want to quarrel with Maryland if you're a blue-nosed Baptist. But you ought not to be quarreling so loud now, because last time I heard, the Pope's still against abortion. I'm not sure Baptists are. Those that try to say that this country was founded on anything other than Christian principles have to have a class full of imbeciles and morons to get an audience. Freedom is not free. Our founding fathers staked it all. You know, it hadn't been all that long before they decided that they'd had enough of the crown. It hadn't been all that long before that some of their forefathers showed up at Plymouth Rock in a leaky boat, guided and protected by the hand of God, so that they could worship God according to the dictates of their own conscience in a new land. And worship God they did. And they built a strong and vibrant nation. Had its problems? Sure it did. Of course it did. But not the sorts of problems that we're facing today. Because every once in a while people would remember. People remembered as soon as the guns fell silent in 1865. People looked back and said, was that trip necessary? Well, I guess that was one of Roosevelt's bumper stickers. But you get the idea. There have been times in our national history where we had to stop and think some things through. This is one of those times. And if you're here this morning and you think there's a political solution to it, you're wrong. If you think that there's some sort of a moral solution to it, you're wrong. Because lost and fallen man is incapable of morality. But there is somebody that purchased freedom for us that if you have it, it can't be taken away from you. And if enough of our fellow citizens have it, we're going to remember the things that went before. So what good does it do to be an American? Well, you could come to Galley Road and learn how to get free. You could go to a lot of churches in this country yet that are still preaching the same old gospel message, thank God for every one of them, but most of them are the fulfillment of Marxist prophecy that religion is the opiate of the masses. The devil has turned the church house into his tool and recruiting station. Well, what can we do against that? Don't you know that every one of you, I'm making a little presumption here that we're saved, every one of you, and me included, are ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have the ministry of reconciliation, and it only takes a few of us. It only takes a few of us to start making a big difference. Oh, I know, Pastor, but you've been preaching to us that the rapture's coming and this is the Laodicean age. Yeah, that's right. That's right. But you know, a lot of times when God dealt with people in the past, there were revivals before it happened. Remember Nineveh? Uh-huh. They repented in sackcloth and ashes. It didn't last very long. But man, when the dragnet was cast into the sea, a little good came in with it. Amen? No, we're not going to change the course of history and prophecy, but the Scripture says that we ought to pull them out of the fire and have compassion on them. Do you think your Congress creatures are going to have compassion on them? Do you think the average denominational preacher, Baptists included, are going to have compassion on them? No, they're busy building their empires. If anybody's going to do this, you got to do it. You want to get good candidates elected to office? You got to do it. They're not going to do it. Freedom isn't free. But the foundation of freedom is a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the point I'm trying to make here. It underlies everything else. And if we have that, we sit in a powerful position. Do you realize how few of the colonists actually took up arms in the Revolutionary War? Why do you think that the government today is not in any real big hurry to push things too fast? The Japanese understood it well. Why didn't you invade the West Coast? Are you kidding? There'd be some American with a rifle behind every blade of grass. We'd get annihilated. What's the use of protecting a country when the souls of men are not free? You've got some real estate and give license to people to do whatever they want, using liberty as a cloak for maliciousness? What's the use of that? There's no use at all. Freedom is not free. Verse number 34. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you that say you're free, I'm not even going to show you up for stupid by pointing at the Roman guidons. I'm going to get down to right where it matters. You can be as free as anybody's ever been on this planet with the Roman guidons in place if the Son shall make you free." Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." They say that fire is a fearful master. Now all that can do is burn your carcass up. Sin is a fearful master. "For it estranges you from the one that has power to cast into hell body and soul." We need to remember that. Our fellow citizens are caught in something that they can't escape from, even though they live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. They're counting on us to give them what nobody else can give them. "Oh, Pastor, but they won't listen." I know. I know. Most of them won't. But here one and there one, they will, and that's why you're here. Did you ever wonder why the United States sends ambassadors to countries that are so small that the city of Colorado Springs has a higher population? And yet they get an official representative of the U.S. government because they count two. Every soul counts. Verse number 35, "And the servant abideth not in the house forever." That's not good news. Not for this world. Not for its lost inhabitants. They're not going to abide forever. They have a place. And you know the sad part is, that place wasn't even prepared for them. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. God didn't make it for any son of Adam or daughter of Eve. They don't belong there. If you think we're strangers and pilgrims in the earth, human beings in hell are total strangers. They don't belong there. God didn't make that place for us. He made it for them. And everybody that goes there as a human being goes there as an uninvited guest. It's not a place for them, but it's the only place where they can be, because death is separation from God. And everybody got to be someplace. The clock's ticking. The sand is just about through the hourglass. We don't have a lot of time left. Yeah, I know we're few. But you know, there are a lot of times when there are as many people in this room as there were in that upper room. You know what they said about them? They that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Let's look at another scripture. Acts chapter 22 and verse number 22 underscores this thought. Things that we'd ought to remember. Since it's Memorial Day, let's remember, shall we? Well, yesterday was Memorial Day. Acts 22 and verse number 22. There's a huge uproar going on in Jerusalem. Oh man, how they hated Paul. I was talking to a missionary last night. And I don't know how the conversation got around to it, but it got around to Paul. And I said, man, if you feel like you're the Lone Ranger, you should have been the Apostle Paul. Everybody hated him. Why in the world do you think churchianity is so comfortable and cozy with Calvin and so comfortable and cozy with Arminius? Because they hate Paul. Why? Because Paul preached a message that set them free. And man, the religionists hate not being able to keep people in bondage and extract money from them and derive from them power and fame. Maybe I should have said notoriety. They love that. There's no place for priestcraft with Paul because you are the priest. Well, they didn't just start up a Paul hate fest day before yesterday. Down in Jerusalem, Acts chapter 22 and verse number 22. And they gave him audience unto this word, this is Paul speaking, and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it's not fit that he should live. You know what, if they're not saying about that about you, maybe we're not being real good ambassadors. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust in the air. Well, Hollywood's got part of that right. The chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that they might know wherewith they cried so against him. Man, what's going on here, Paul? How come all these people hate you? You must be a real bad egg. Verse 25, and as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? Oops. When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. Then the chief captain came and said unto him, tell me, art thou a Roman? He said, yea, he was, born in Tarsus. And the chief captain answered, with great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, but I was free born. Strategic pause to let this sink in. This man bought his freedom, but he was still in thraldom to Caesar. He obeyed Caesar's every whim. He wasn't free. He's like the person that tries to climb into the sheepfold by some other way. He thinks he's in the sheepfold, but he's not. All that ever came before me are robbers and thieves. Didn't come through the door. Great price! People will give anything to be free. Even the lost human soul yearns to be free. People that have no interest in Christ whatsoever are storming the gates to get into this place because they think they're going to be free. Why would they have to storm the gates? I think they were left open. And then they get here and settle down in a neighborhood and start to build the American dream and find out that their kids discovered the drug dealer that lives up the street. And they got a TV and piped Hollywood sewage into their living room. And pretty soon they find out they're more miserable here than they were where they came from. And nobody ever told them how they could be free. With a great price obtained I this freedom, but he wasn't free. And Paul says, but I was born free. Man, that's the only way you get free. If you're not born again, you are not free. And if you are born again, you can never be brought into captivity by this world and its wicked system, no matter what your outward circumstances look like. Why was Paul joyous? He was filled with joy most of the time. And he describes all the things that happened to him, beaten with rods, beaten with whips, shipwrecked, in perils in the city, in perils in the country, in perils by his own countrymen. And yet he praised and gave glory to God every place that he was. Because they couldn't bring him into captivity. He was born free. And that's the only way you can be free. And you ought to remember this Memorial Day that somebody paid a great price, not so that you could live on a piece of real estate and do whatever you want and get rich quick. Somebody died so that you could live on this piece of real estate where there was freedom to preach the gospel. Because that's where your real freedom comes from. Now, I know that there are a lot of graves on Normandy. There are a lot of graves right up in Denver on South Sheridan Street at the National Cemetery up there. And they're filled with people that never knew the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, maybe that's the saddest thing of all that we ought to remember. They died so that you could have their best wishes. And they were never free themselves. I wonder if anybody ever gave them the gospel. Let's pray. Dear Lord, as we reflect upon the things that we'd ought to reflect upon such a day as this, Lord, let us be thankful for everyone that fell for this country. Lord, we know that some of them were not even free themselves, and yet they paid the greatest price that a human can pay to pass on a legacy to us. And Lord, let us remember too that the founding fathers and so many that lie in graves marked and unmarked. So many in the tomb of the unknown soldier that knew exactly what they were fighting for. And it wasn't so much a form of government or a piece of real estate, but they wanted a place that was free, where the gospel could be preached, where people could be saved, where ambassadors could be sent out to other countries to preach the gospel, where governments had made it to where it wasn't allowed. Lord, we're thankful that America has been a place that sent forth missionaries into all the world. And Lord, this morning, help us to remember that we need to look to our own country. Lord, if we're going to continue to send out missionaries, Lord, we want to send them with the ministry of reconciliation, not to promote churchianity or some cult someplace, but to preach to people in other areas of the world that they can be free no matter what their political climate is. Lord, no matter where they are. Lord, we want to thank you for our country. We thank you for our families. We thank you for everything that you've given to us, but mostly for our freedom. Lord, thank you for our salvation, bought with a price. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.